Genesis chapter number 21. We're going to read first 8 verses. And the Lord visited Genesis 21. Did I tell you somewhere else? 19. I said 19?
No.
Okay, very good. I said 21? All right, thank you, Bright. Having a baby and helping the pastor. How exciting. All right, very good. So thankful. Genesis 21, if you're not there, just pretend you are. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being the 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage, and Lord, I just take great comfort from it, knowing that you keep your promises. And God, prayers that we've prayed for so long have answers in some day. And God, thank you for that hope. Thank you for those promises. And God, as we walk away from this passage tonight, that would be renewed in our hearts to not give up. Lord, I pray you bless and strengthen and encourage us here tonight. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 21, it's a unique passage. If you go back to Genesis chapter number 12, hold your hand in Genesis 21, but in Genesis chapter number 12, in verse 4, it says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. If you remember the story, the Lord tells him, and we'll look at this in just a moment, but the Lord told Abraham, he says, I want you to go to a place, and I'll tell you when you get there. And remember, he does that, and he leaves. And at that point, he says, I'm going to make your seed as the sand of the sea. Well, here he was 75 when that happened. 75, it said there in Genesis chapter number 12 and verse 4. We just read in Genesis chapter number 21, here comes Isaac. The Bible says that Abraham was 100 years old. It's been 25 years since he left home. That's a long wait. That's a long time. That's a long time of travel. That's a long time of asking God and reminding God of his promises and holding on to faith. And how long have you been praying for certain things? Sure, we bring requests and lists, and sometimes I'll be in my office, and I have a very big stack of these notebooks. And every now and then I'll be up there and I'll just flip through and I see some of the Wednesday night prayer lists and go through. And some were short, some were, hey, we're traveling or moving or doing this or doing that. But some names just show up over and over and over again. Again, I told you, I started coming here. I joined this church in 1998. It had been 2 years. I graduated in 1996. I was going full-time in the Bible Institute over at First Bible Baptist Church. And my parents, my mom and stepdad moved over to this place. And I was kind of going to First Bible and here and going back and forth. And our house was kind of divided. I was excited about what God was doing over at First Bible. And my parents were excited about what was going on here. And, well, quite honestly, I had no problem with what was happening here. They just had a problem with what was going on at First Bible. So I just, to keep the peace, took a step of faith and moved over here. And I say all that to say, back in 1998, I heard the name Paul Dickinson for the first time. And pretty much every prayer meeting since then, anytime anybody asks, any list that is made, anytime Mrs. Dickinson is around someone that's writing down prayer requests, she brings up her husband. It's been 25 years. And I just thought about all of that, and I was thinking, could be tomorrow. I don't know. Could tomorrow be the day? We'll never know, maybe until eternity. He might not be able to respond. I told him on Tuesday, I said, here's what you got to do. And I told him, I led him right through it. I said, you don't have to come to church to do it. You don't have to. And I told him exactly how Jesus loved him and that he died on the cross for his sins. And I told him, I said, you don't want to admit it, but you're a sinner. I said, and because sin is a breaking of God's law, and we've all done it. And I was telling him straightforward. I was preaching a little. Amen. I don't know. I don't know if he could hear it or not. If you go to, hold your hand here, Genesis, or Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah 32. In verse 17, here Jeremiah is praying. Jeremiah the prophet, and he says this in Jeremiah 32, 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth, and by thy great power and stretched out arm. And look at what he says. And there is nothing too hard for thee. Abraham knew that. Here he traveled. God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to leave your home, and I want you to go to this new place. I want you to go back to this place here. And he says, I'm gonna give you a family. And we'll read that in a second. But it takes 25 years for that to happen. I'm no biologist, but 100-year-old men don't usually father children. I'm just saying. But nothing is too hard for thee, God. And when we open up these lists and when we bring these things before the Lord and we're praying for the impossible, understand, it's not really impossible. Because with God, it is possible. There's nothing too hard. He can have a 100-year-old man have a son. It started with a message from the Lord. Go back to Genesis chapter number 12. A message from God. The Bible says in Genesis 12, 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Here a promise is given from God. Go over to chapter 17 in verse number 15. 17:15 says this, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, shall her name be, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I'll bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. This wasn't Abraham's idea. This wasn't Sarah's idea. This wasn't any servant's idea. They didn't even ask God for this. God initiated the conversation. He came to them and said, here's what I'm going to do with you. Amen. Now wait. Why did you tell him then? Why didn't you wait till he was 100? But he promised him. In chapter 18, look at verse 9. Chapter 18 and verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah, with a glass to the door, with a ear to the tent drape, eavesdropping. That was a loud amen over there, Brother Rice. I don't know. I'm sure she was busy about things like this. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Like, that time had passed. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" As we continue reading, the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?" Look at the question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. Oh, just stop it, would you? For she was afraid, and he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. They're going to name his son, your son Isaac, laughter, as a reminder. In chapter 21, the Lord shows up again. I love that, in verse 1. You see, each time, each one of those verses, Genesis 12, Genesis 17, Genesis 18, the Lord shows up. Genesis 21, and the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said. The message from the Lord, it started with a promise. We see a visit, and then chapter 21, in verse 2, and Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son. There we see it fulfilled. Again, 25 years later. Lord, even if you go back to chapter 17 and verse, look at verse 5. Neither shall thy name anymore be Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Changes his name. 17:15, and Abraham, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, again, we just read that, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. In chapter 17 and in verse 9, it says, and God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. He changed all their names. Went from Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, and he named Isaac. He picked their names. Message from the Lord. But this, go back to chapter 21. As the message came from the Lord, hey, maybe the Lord, maybe the Lord allows you to experience something. A burden, maybe a care, maybe a circumstance, simply to strengthen your faith. Allows you to just be privy of it. Something that you can pray for, something that you can maybe even toil over for an extended period of time, that at the end you could see God get glory from it. God, I wasn't looking for it, yet neither were they, and God came to them. And 25 years later, they're holding a promise. This young man was marked for the Lord in chapter 21 and verse 4, as was the custom, in chapter 21 and verse 4, the Bible says, and Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. That's what God told him to do. In chapter 17 and verse 10, it said that. It said, this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. Marked for the Lord. Hey, look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Hey, you and I are marked for the Lord. He's got a plan for us. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Look at verse 19. He wants us to live for Him. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. You're marked. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Hey, the same thing with you and I. God marked us, and He desires to use us. To do His work, to live for Him. We saw a message from God. We saw a young man marked for God. And then lastly, if you go to Genesis chapter 21 and verse 8. In 21 and verse 8, it says, "And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned." We had a message. We have a marking. Third, we have a merry heart. Maybe you remember bringing your first child home. Mine's sitting in here. That was a blessing. 19 years ago, I got to bring Sam home. And I can't believe that they entrust people with little people. They just send you out so much stuff to have the kid, and then they're like, "All right, goodbye." And it's like, wow. We were so proud, and people coming over. I remember at the hospital, we had friends of the family come over, and this family, they had a number of children. I think I lost count. Maybe six or seven children. And there they were standing over our son, Samuel, laying in the little hospital bed, and they were looking at him, and she went to go pick him up. I'm like, "Be careful." I'm telling a mother of eight children to be careful how you handle him. We are so proud, and everywhere you go, people—they didn't care. But we were telling people at Wegmans, "This is our son," and he had that first—you know—that you hear it now as parents. You walk through Wegmans or Walmart or something like that, and you hear that newborn cry. Oh, it's different. Just that noise, and you go over, and it's just, oh, that's precious. That's not just like I'm not getting my way. That's just I'm cold or hot or whatever. Just wonderful, and having that child, you're just so proud. You're so blessed. That's Abraham. Here, what is he holding in his hands that day? He's holding not just his son, he's holding a fulfillment of God's promises. An answer to a prayer of 25 years. I wonder if every year that went by, if they kind of marked that date. Hey, isn't this the season 5 years ago that the angel, that God told us that we would have a son? When do you think that's going to happen? I don't know. Five more years goes by. Five more years goes by. Five more years goes by. Five more years. 25 years. That's a long time to wait. That's a long time to pray. That's a long time to not give up hope. That's a long time to keep the faith. He goes and sees Dr. whoever, and he says, "I'm sorry, Abraham, you're past the age now. I don't know." But there he held that child. So how do you know he was so happy? And made a great feast. A great feast. You know, we ought to rejoice when the Lord answers our prayers. A great celebration was had. And when I read that today, I thought about, I couldn't help but think about Luke 15. If you go there, we'll end here. If I could encourage you in two ways tonight. Number one, don't stop praying. Number two, when God answer prayer, rejoice. In Luke 15, I love these stories. I'm sappy, I get it, I understand, I'm whatever. I have a soft heart for these things. These are my favorite stories in the Scriptures. In Luke 15, there's three things that were lost. Number one, a sheep, and has that in verse 3, in Luke 15, 3, he spake this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after it, that which is lost, until he find it, right? When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders." What's he doing? Rejoicing. "And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Same story in verse 8. Neither what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek, look at the word, diligently till she find it. When she hath found it, she calleth her neighbors and her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. In both these stories, what do we see? We see something lost. We see some anguish. We see some searching, the diligence, and then an answer, a result. And what do? They rejoice. They call friends. They call. What did we see with Abraham? What did he do? There he's holding Isaac. The child now has gone past the nervous years of disease and hurt, especially at this time. When a child got to the age of being weaned, it was a significant moment in their life, and that there was health, there was strength there. And there, Abraham's holding this, now no longer a baby, maybe a child, a result of faith and prayer and all of it just coming together. And he's like, we got to do something big. We're having a celebration. We're rejoicing. Why? Over Isaac? No. Over the fulfillment and the answer to prayer. Why did he call his friends and neighbors in when he brought one sheep back? Why did she call the friends and neighbors when she just received a coin? Why? Because there was some diligence. There was some investment in that. She maybe was praying over, again, understand the spiritual implication, over the thing, and then it came through. And there was a merry heart. It wasn't just a coin. It was an answer to prayer. Chapter 15 and verse 22. Now it's not an animal. Now it's not an inanimate object. It's a person. It's not just a person. It's a son. Genesis 21, we read about a son. In Luke 15, we'll read about a son that comes home. In verse 22, but the father said to the servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. We don't know how long he's been gone, but the father did not give up hope. Didn't give up on the faith. And when his son returned, it wasn't just the son standing there. It was an answer to prayer. And he said, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And he began to be Mary. There was reason to rejoice. Yes, the boy had returned. But all the anguish, all the prayer, all the investment, the diligence, seeking that which was lost until he be found. And I want you to, can I encourage you not to give up in prayer? Been 25 years, Abraham. And here he is. And it's more than just a child. It's a promise. Started with a message from God, marked for God, but concluded with a merry heart. I can't promise you how all circumstances will go. But can I encourage you not to quit? Not to give up. There's some of these on the list tonight that by next week they will be passed. It'll be over. But there's some names on there that we've been praying for a long time. Don't give up. Let's all stand. Sometimes in the most unlikely times, God answers. Waited until he was 100, till Isaac showed up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you that we can bring these requests to you, knowing that you hear us, knowing that you care about us. Lord, I believe that maybe some of these things are in our life for the sole purpose to bring us to you. God, help us to be faithful. Help us to not lose hope. Help us not to get discouraged. Lord, I pray that you would watch over us now, protect us as we travel home. Lord, use this message to encourage us. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you as you leave tonight.